For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. A charter aircraft carrying 81 people, including a top Brazilian football team, has crashed in Colombia. Colombian authorities say that several people were pulled alive from the wreckage, though one of them died on the way to the hospital. So far, ongoing rescue efforts have been hampered by bad weather. Andrea Arenas has this report.
The entire Brazilian Chapecoense soccer team were among the 72 passengers and 9 crew members on board the aircraft. Brazilian President Michel Temer has announced 3 days of national mourning. The South American football governing body, CONMEBOL, has canceled all games scheduled as part of the Copa Sudamericana until further notice. The Chapecoense was traveling to play in the first leg of the Copa Sudamericana final against Atlético Nacional, a game that was to take place on Wednesday in Medellin.
The United Nations says 16,000 people have fled Aleppo as the Syrian government continues to make gains in the rebel-held parts of the city. With no hospitals and food supplies all but exhausted, the UN expects many more to escape over the coming days. Nick Harper reports from UN headquarters in New York.
UN humanitarian chief Stephen O'Brien said the situation in eastern Aleppo was deeply alarming as thousands of civilians try to run from the intensified attacks. Over the last few days, the Syrian army has swept across the northern part of the besieged city, and rebels have been pulling back. Meanwhile, the UN's envoy to Syria, Staffan de Mistura, has made an appeal to the incoming US President Donald Trump to increase efforts to combat the so-called Islamic State in Syria and Iraq. Yet he urged the US and Russia to work more closely.
Meanwhile, a military investigation in the US has found that unintentional human errors led to a coalition strike on Syrian forces in September that killed at least 15 government troops. They were targeted by American, British, Australian, and Danish fighter jets and drones. Lorna Shattuck has the details.
The coalition report into the attack says 34 precision-guided missiles and 380 rounds of ammunition were fired at the Syrian regime forces, believed at the time to be from the so-called Islamic State group. They weren't wearing recognizable uniforms or badges. At the time of the attack near the city of Deir ez-Zor, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad claimed it was definitely intentional. The report says the coalition did phone Russian military command to notify them that their planes would be striking the area, but the location given to the Russians was wrong by several kilometers, an error investigators put down to a lack of knowledge of the terrain. In the end, the attack was only stopped when the Russian military called the US-led coalition to tell them they were striking Syrian forces. Russia says 62 Syrians were killed.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Well, thank you very much, Rebecca Foster, and good evening to you, and a warm welcome to the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com for Thursday, November 29th, 2016. How the weeks are flying. How the weeks are flying, eh?
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. The Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Yeah, did I say Thursday? Of course I did, because I'm an idiot. It's Tuesday, November 29th, 2016. Getting ahead of myself, so I am. It's only Tuesday. It's been a cold one. Woke up to a freezing cold morning this morning. Winter is definitely here. Got a good show for you tonight, a really good show we think coming up in the second hour. Brandy Vaughan joins me, formerly of Merck of course. Brandy was on this program last year, it's been over a year since she was on. Now you might know, you might not know that Brandy founded the Council for Vaccine Safety. I'm very interested in people hearing from Brandy, people whom are on the fence about vaccines, because she's been raising awareness about vaccine safety, but also telling people how vaccines get from the laboratory into your children's bodies. How does that happen? How easy is it? What about efficacy tests, safety tests? Well, she's got all the answers. Brilliant woman joins us in hour two. And in the first hour, coming up in a few minutes, US Navy veteran Cash Jackson joins me. This is huge, of course. We covered this weeks ago. It's ongoing. The Standing Rock Sioux Native Americans in North Dakota and their struggle against the construction of Energy Transfer Partners Access Pipeline in Dakota, which is going to cause severe problems for them environmentally and to their water, not to mention to sacred burial sites. It's very, very serious. And I want to focus on the angle, because I was speaking with my producer, Claire, today, and I was saying to her that, in my opinion, often for the first time, when something like this happens, it's often the first time that people get a real close-up and personal look at the hyper-militarization of the police. The thuggish, loutish, psychotic, dare I say, behaviour of the police. And I've read a lot of accounts over the last few weeks, various Facebook pages of people whom are involved, Native Americans whom are involved. And they are genuinely horrified at the police. They can't believe what they're seeing. And I think this is a good thing. I think out of every terrible situation, whenever you have the brutalization of a people, the demonization of people, whenever you have Big Brother stomping his big foot down on people and saying, we'll do whatever we want, what the good thing that comes out of it is people get to see it up close and personal. People who would otherwise maybe have dismissed programs like ours. And I think that's a silver lining. So I'm looking forward to talking with Navy veteran Cash Jackson. He joins us. Big story in The Independent about 2,000 veterans going to stand up for and stand in solidarity with the Sioux Indians, the Sioux Native Americans, I should say, in North Dakota. Big story in The Independent today. I'll tell you more about that shortly. So we're broadcasting live on davidicke.com. Check it out on alternatecurrentradio.com. Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, which is back broadcasting now. Fab's studios had been closed for a short time after a terrible fire over the weekend, which unfortunately killed a couple of homeless gentlemen. Terrible thing, that. A dreadful thing when you think of it. And they had cordoned off the buildings around where the fire had happened, and Fab Radio was one of those, and they're back up and running now. But no consequence or no, how would I put it, no consolation whatsoever for the homeless of this particular city and their plight in, you know, freezing cold weather like today and what they have to put up with. I might have a word on that in a minute, because it kind of juxtaposes or coincides with another story I've been reading today anyway. Do check out our broadcast partners, please. As I mentioned, news that you won't get anywhere else, davidicke.com, and Alternate Current Radio, Fab Radio 2 as well. Right, bizarre. Just before we move on, I mentioned something today on Facebook which got quite a bit of comment, which is a good thing. And that is, sitting around this morning watching TV while reading the broadsheet and tabloid papers, and while looking around the independent media to see what's being said and to see who's saying it and why they're saying it. I have the cable news channels on, of course, and I kind of got a bit peeved off with a couple of ads that followed in, well, not back to back, but they weren't too far away from one another. And there were ads to do with Tom Hiddleston, who's an actor, allegedly, who plays Thor. No, he doesn't play Thor. He plays a baddie in the Thor movies, and Ewan McGregor, of course, of Trainspotting fame. And they've been making ads for UNICEF and for Save the Children, talking about begging videos, basically begging people for money, saying that, you know, these children didn't choose this, they don't deserve it. Nobody would argue with that. Nobody would argue with the horrors of children being forced out of their homes and separated from their grandparents, their aunts and uncles, and often their parents. But it really got me pissed off looking at these thespians, again, allegedly, begging for money, talking about the horrors of this and why should children put up with this. These guys must know full well now, because such are the strides that have been made by the independent media, particularly through social media. These guys know damn well that there's a direct link between the non-governmental organisations that they represent and the plight of those children in Syria, in Yemen and elsewhere. They must do. You know, it's absolutely tragic to me to see this. Beg for money, beg for money, beg for money. And I suggested today, and I know it's as naive as it gets, that maybe some of these guys might have the courage to start asking questions about what part their government and the intelligence agencies of their government are playing in this. But I was staggered again today. I posted a video of, it's a video that you've seen many times before. I've used it on Sunday View programmes and translated it. It's the Roland Dumas video, the former French foreign minister. He was foreign minister under François Mitterrand. And he said on French television a few years ago very clearly, and this guy is very credible, he's a system man, and he's got no black marks against him. And he said very clearly, did Dumas, that when he was in the UK 2008, 2009, he was approached about getting involved in the overthrow of Bashar al-Assad, and that MI5 had been in touch with him when he was in London, asking him, did he want to get involved in it? And did he want to, you know, get involved and get other former French diplomats involved in selling this, basically, in selling it, in selling the eventuality when, you know, when the mayhem began, when the overthrow happened? And of course, he said no. And I posted this today, and you talk about cognitive dissonance, even. Say it properly, Richie, if you're going to say it at all. And I came across a comment from somebody called Dominic Notman, whom I don't know anything about. He might be a nice guy. But this is the thing that we come up against all the time. You present somebody with very credible evidence that something is not right with the whole Syria and ISIS story. And one of this guy's friends must be a listener to the programme, because she tagged him in on the post that I made. And his response was, it'll be nonsense. I won't waste my data on such crap. Thought Hillary Clinton was going to step aside and let Mrs. Obama challenge. What about Mr. Clinton's mile-high jollies? It's all bollocks. Don't you ever look back and wonder why it never happens. It's easy to say everything's a conspiracy. I won't waste my data on such crap. So I'm not going to watch the video. The video clearly states that it's a former French foreign minister, one of France's most senior diplomats, saying this is why Syria is in the situation it's in at the moment, but I'm not going to have it. And I was thinking today, as I was preparing the programme, it's not cognitive dissonance. It isn't. Cognitive dissonance is relatively understandable and it's straightforward and it's kind of acceptable. What this is out and out 100% pure, undiluted narcissism. That's what it is. This is the genesis of people whom, if you contradict something they say, they take it personally. They actually take personal injury from somebody saying to them, tell you what, I actually disagree with that. Let me show you this. You disagree with me? How dare you? You're blocked. You're unfriended. I never want to hear from you again. This is what you're dealing with. It's not cognitive dissonance. That was 10 years ago. Now you have social media created narcissism on a scale I never thought was possible. People walking around in Walter Mitty fantasy lands, imagining that they are important enough to update their status with such banal bullshit as, just popped into the barber's for a haircut, I'm sitting in Starbucks now. Who gives a fuck what you're doing in Starbucks? Or what you were doing in the hairdresser? You're not famous. You might be in your head. But that's about the size of it. And that's where this crap comes from. This behaviour that you see, and it's widespread throughout society. Do not ever disagree with me. How dare you? I've had 100 conversations about this with Hayden Hewitt from LiveLeak.com and from BVTV. This is where we're going now. Nobody wants to do anything or have anything to do with anybody unless that person is 100% in agreement with them. Do you know what that means? We're fucked. We're absolutely fucked. If we extricate, if we remove from our lives everybody who disagrees with us, what chance do you have of ever solving anything or getting to the bottom of anything, of educating yourself and other people? It's insane, isn't it? Isn't it insane? Go on Facebook now and look at your mate's statuses. What banal, mind-numbingly boring bullshit. This is why I don't spend any time on Facebook. Apart from trying to get, you know, a bit of attention for the programme through my own personal page, which I'm going to shut down in the coming weeks anyway. I'm leaving it. Madness it is. It's madness. And it's only going to go one way. With automatons. Gilad Asman got into it the other day. People who self-identify with themselves. I. The Century of the Self. Watch the documentaries. Adam Curtis. This is where we're going. And social media was served up. And this, what I'm describing was one of the primary reasons for setting up social media. To isolate people from one another. To actually call it social media. It's one of the greatest misnomers. One of the greatest contradictions in history. There's nothing social about it. Nothing. Dreadful. I'm not wasting my data on that crap. Just look at the video, you fucktard. Have a look at what the guy's saying. And then have the humility to say, you know what? Jesus, I didn't realise that. Is that right? This guy was France's foreign minister. He's a very respected guy. And he's saying that MI5 was involved in ISIS. Jeez, I'll have to have a look at that again. You see, that's humanity, isn't it? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You haven't failed. You're not less of a man for going, yeah, I do it every day. I'm wrong 10 times a day. I'm wrong 100 times a week. I have friends. You know, my closest friends are people who disagree with me on nearly everything. And I don't mean about politics necessarily. Surround yourselves with people whom challenge you, whom have the courage because they love you to tell you they think you're wrong. You're wrong. You got that wrong. I think anyway. Have a second thought there, Richie. Have a step back there, you know, think about it. But blocking people, unfriending people, turning your back on people, never speaking to anybody again because they disagree with you about Jeremy Corbyn. Are you shitting me? Are you shitting me? About Donald Trump. Imagine the madness on social media. Donald Trump, imagine the madness. We see it on our YouTube videos. You're a shill. You're a shill, Alan. You're scum. You're CIA plant. Why? Because I think Trump. Because I think Trump is as establishment as the man he's replacing. Or as establishment as the woman he was competing against. I'm scum. Because I disagree with you. Madness, eh? What a world we live in. You see it on Twitter when the women from Regret in Ireland whose daughters are sick are asking questions. Same thing. Friendships being broken up. Well, alleged friendships anyway. Oh, I don't believe it. That's absolutely crap. That's crazy conspiracy theory. Well, look, if you just have a look. No chance. Gone. Friendship gone. Block. Gone. Finished. Don't ever speak to me ever again. The century of the self. The century of narcissism. That's what we have. Wannabe celebrities. Everybody you bump into. Walking around like a zombie looking at their phone. In their head. Is a celebrity. A diva. You can't argue with people like that. You can't disagree with them. Disagree with me, you're gone. It's the Mariah Carey thing, isn't it? It's the Madonna thing. It's 19 minutes past the hour. I had loads more to do in the first 15, 20 minutes. I went off on a tangent there. Back in a minute.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain. A sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Have you lost fast access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device. Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
And you're welcome back to the programme. It's Tuesday, November 29th, 2016. Had to say that. It's been bubbling up and boiling inside me all day long, all week and all month. And my, you know, decision to come off social media, in terms of personally come off it, and keep a anonymous account to update the Richie Allen Show page, that's a decision that's been coming a long time as well. I'm not the most intellectual guy that ever lived. I'm not the smartest guy that ever lived. By the same token, I'm not the dumbest guy that ever lived. And Facebook destroys me. It sucks the marrow out of my bones. It's the greatest trap the system ever handed us. We're getting places on social media. No, you're not. You're not. Put a picture, and I've experimented with this. You think, oh, you're a hypocrite, Richie. You put a picture up of you and your dog. I'm experimenting. And David Icke will back me up on this, because I've said time and time again, watch what happens. Facebook's algorithms allow all of your friends see your picture of your dog and your banal story about your trip to Southport. Couldn't give a shit, really. Facebook will let everybody see it. 300-400 likes, loads of comments. Brilliant. Put a post up about something that's important. Nobody sees it. Not social media at all. And it's no help whatsoever in the ongoing struggle and effort to alert people to the reality that they're not aware of. Facebook is not doing that at all. It's corralling us. It's almost like kettling. They are kettling people like us into small corners of the internet. See, we don't have websites anymore. That's another one I've borrowed from Aidan Hewitt. We've no websites because we're all on Facebook. We all have our individual page on Facebook, which is our website on Facebook. So we are corralled. We send out our information about vaccines, about false flag attacks, about ISIS, about whatever. Facebook makes sure that the only people who see that are people exactly like us. You get your 20 likes and your 5 likes and you feel important. It's brilliant. You're making a difference. You're not making a fucking difference at all. Not on Facebook anyway. Narcissists live on Facebook, shouting from the rooftops about banal crap that doesn't mean anything. 23 minutes past the hour, some music, maestro, please. This is Def Leppard. It's not going to calm me down, this. On your Richie Allen Show at 23 minutes past the hour, Europe's most listened to independent radio show. I am Richie Allen, back with our first guest, hopefully, in 3 minutes. They are from Sheffield, aren't they? Def Leppard, I think so. Joe Elliott, Yorkshire's finest. Def Leppard on the Richie Allen Show at exactly 27 minutes past the hour. We're hoping to speak with Cash Jackson, who is a former Navy, I don't know if he's a Navy officer or if he was commissioned in the Navy. What do you call, you say soldiers or officers, what do you say about, it's officer or what in the Navy? I don't know, able seaman maybe. But he's one of thousands of veterans heading to Standing Rock to stand in solidarity with protesters there in what is a very, very, very big story. We did get into it a few weeks back. We had a Native American woman on the program to talk about it and what was going on and the story behind it and the pipeline and why they were against the pipeline, what it was going to do to their land, the horrors of the fact that it was rerouted away from predominantly white areas of Dakota to go through their reservation, and it's dreadful. Right, so Claire is typing to me to tell me that the gentleman we're due to speak with, his Skype might be down at the moment, and we have another number to call him on, but that number is not going to work, I don't think. Not too thrilled about cell phone numbers calling the States, but we'll try it anyway. We'll give it a go just for the crack, because if the day is in it. In the meantime, though, we better take another quick break. Hopefully we'll come back with Cash Jackson in a minute.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. Livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk. Now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Welcome back to the program. We might not be able to get, and it doesn't look like we will be able to get, Cash Jackson on the line. The line is terrible. It's often the case when you call mobile phones from here to the US, the sound is absolutely dreadful. So we're not going to be able to do it this particular Tuesday, which is a bit of a shame. 2,000 veterans, which is a lot of veterans, are planning to join the Standing Rock Indian Reservation protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline. Now, as I mentioned at the top of the program, these camps are the camps where many of these protesters are based are being closed, or there are plans to close them by the US Army Corps of Engineers. Very good story in the Independent broadsheet newspaper in the UK today, and the paper quite fairly and quite accurately even talks about what the protesters there have put up with, not least the terrible weather there, but pepper spray, water cannons, the use of stun grenades by the police, which badly burned the arm or the hand of a young girl or a young woman. These protests were peaceful. In fact, when we first covered this story a couple of months back on the programme, you know, we, having a Native American woman on talking about it, doing our own little bit of research into it, we learned and discovered that the protests were very peaceful. We also talked on the programme about how G4S, and we know all about them here in the UK, they were intimidating protesters by sticking dogs on them, by threatening them, and you've just heard the list of things that the police have been doing there. What really interests me about it is, and of course I have great sympathy with the Native American tribes there and their rights to their sovereign land and their rights to say, no, you can't have this pipeline on our land, which is going to damage our water supply, which is going to destroy sacred burial sites. Of course they have the right to do that, and you'd have to support them 100% in their rights to do that. But what I'm very interested in, dear listener, and I said this to Claire today, is that, you know, when things like this happen, men and women who were never exposed to DavidIke.com or never exposed to Alex Jones or Jim Mars or anybody like that, and to them life is as it seems to be, you know, we go about our business, we work, we pay our taxes, and if we're good people and we do the right things, well, things will work out for us, government is good, elected representatives are good, generally things are good. But when these people are confronted by the hyper-militarized police forces that they are, the policemen and women looking like RoboCop, the Paul Verhoeven character you remember in the film, or something from Terminator, with military equipment and tanks, it really, really horrifies them. And I've been reading so many different accounts on various websites and on various forums underneath newspaper columns, and it's been very, very noticeable how shocked people are when they see the police like this. What's going on? I can't believe how the police are behaving. And it's their first ever encounter with that. You know, it reminded me of, you know, anti-Irish water protests in Dublin 2 years ago, and the Irish police donning all the riot gear and coming out and forming long, long lines, tapping the truncheons against the palms of their hands with the massive face masks, threatening people, screaming at people to get away, to get out and all that. And again, many of those people were like, what's going on here? What happened to democracy? Aren't we entitled to be here to speak up for what it is we believe in? Aren't we entitled to express our opinions and to assemble peacefully without having these characters from video games turning up with all the gear and, you know, threatening us and throwing stun grenades at us? The hell is happening? And I'm very interested in that. And one of the things I was really interested in getting into with Cash Jackson was his take on it as a former US Navy veteran. You know, posse comitatus being thrown out the window, the police basically acting as the military on American soil. Wanted to hear what he had to say about that, but I think we're going to try and reschedule him for tomorrow or another day. It's just one of those things, isn't it? Maybe if I hadn't ranted so much at the beginning of the programme, maybe. Maybe it's karma. Maybe karma has landed on my face, but maybe it hasn't. Let's read a few tweets. Luga tweets, native tribes are smart. They have had to deal with the white man and white man shit for a long time. It is time the white masses stood for them. Well, 2,000 veterans have decided to go and stand for them. And I must point out, the veterans have been saying and have been urging those veterans who are going to turn up not to be armed, not to use guns, not to bring guns, not to bring sticks, not to bring knives. And I love that. I know there are people in the US, more militant people, who can see what's going on, and they believe the only way you're going to take them on is if you have the courage to stand up and meet force with force. But I don't believe that. I've never believed it, as long as I live. I'm from the Gandhi school. The way to screw them up is, you remember last year, there was an initiative here in the UK, I think it was a Europe-wide initiative, to get people, maybe, now correct me if I'm wrong, because you might have more knowledge of this than I do. Was it to do with overinflated energy bills? Wasn't there some initiative to get people to switch off their electricity at the mains some evening to, well, basically to piss off the corporate giants who own the energy supplies in countries? I don't have time now to look into that. But That's the sort of thing I like, you know. That's the sort of thing I like. En masse, no, we're not going to do what you tell us. Rather than do what they want you to do, which is to fight them with force, because it gives them an excuse then, with their superior technology and their overwhelming knowledge of tactics and their weight of numbers, to just kill people. So rather than, and of course this is what Gandhi was facing with the British. So the thing to do is just to turn your backs and say, no, fuck off, we're not taking part anymore. I know it's wishful thinking. D tweets, that was some monologue, Richie. You're right in some of what you say. Although Facebook can be used for some good stuff as well as kittens, says D. And a friend of mine has sent me a message on Facebook, ironically, which I haven't yet seen, but I think it's about how Facebook was very useful after a bereavement. I couldn't argue with that. Getting information to people quickly, I couldn't argue with that. But again, you see, it's the carrot and the stick thing, isn't it? It's the have or show a very, very good benefit of something in order to lure people to use it, but then what it's really for is for something very malevolent. So yeah, of course. You know, I was following Facebook when Billy McCarthy from WLRFM died 10 days ago. Of course I went on there and I was able to see people and exchange messages with people that I would have struggled to get in touch with because I don't have phone numbers. Not going to argue with that. But back in the day, we had phone numbers. We have email addresses. You know? So we're giving a bit too much credence to the fact that it's a useful place to assemble quickly for something social or for something like that. But the negatives far, far outweigh those benefits, I would argue. Francisco tweets, read your social media rant, best summed up as an empty head makes a great echo chamber. Empty vessels make the most noise, of course, as well. Hi to Catherine. Hi to Sean McDonald. Hi to Justin. To Waffles. To Gail, who was near a nudist beach today and was making great mirth on Twitter about being near a nudist beach. I doubt very much there was any naturist anywhere in the UK, anywhere on a beach today. If there was a naturist on a UK beach today, he or she is the hardest bastard that ever walked planet Earth. I'm a big old fashion guy, never cold. It was freezing today. Freezing today. Hi to Colm in Dublin. Faisal says, probably a good time to remind folks to plant radical links on the sheeple's inoffensive posts on Facebook to sabotage this. I've seen that. I've seen people do that, you know. So I post a picture of a cat or a dog and Facebook lets everybody see it because that's what Facebook does. And I've seen people once or twice use my semi-minor viral post to post a link to something more important than my ridiculous picture of me and my dog. And what I've noticed is they haven't got much traction, even though lots of more comments come in about, you know, people's dogs. I'm not knocking that. Look, I don't want to sound like I'm knocking people. We all love our animals. I'm not knocking that, but I'm just making an example of what happens. But those people who add to those posts with a bit of reality, I've never seen them gain any traction doing it like that anyway. Hi to Hubertes as well. Lots of tweets came in during that rant earlier on. Hi to Roloff, to Millie as well. A lot of you, unsurprisingly, because of the nature of the fact you're listening to this programme, kind of agree with it. Others are saying, well, because there's so many of them coming in now, others are saying, well, you know, it has its uses as well, and if we're a bit clever, or if we box a bit clever with how we use it, we can get something done, or we can use it as a force for good. Alex Doust, who's not been well lately. Alex, I hope you're well today. You are bang on, he says. I had a huge unfinished row with somebody very close because I couldn't talk in person. It sucks, says Alex. Well, don't row with somebody that you're very close with on Facebook. That's not the place to do that, but I understand. Hi to Charlie O'Malley as well. How you doing, Charlie? And to Zenzia. These appeals have always bothered me, said Zenzia. Now, she or he is talking about the appeals made by the actors Tom Hiddleston and Ewan McGregor. the people should not be guilted into giving. The bill should go to the evil governments who, given the chance to finish that, presumably Zenzia would say the evil governments who perpetrate these acts of violence anyway, who sell arms to the Saudis, who fund, train, arm and support groups like ISIS as well. Hi to Trey, who sent me an image of the Tate Gallery, is it? Nice image that, Trey. I'll retweet that now while I'm speaking with you. There, nice black and white image there of a light shining over the entrance to the Tate. Hi to Anne Barnes. So many tweets came in as well. To Manrique, to media, and I could be here all day. Lots and lots of tweets came in on that. Right. It's exactly 17 and a half minutes past the hour. Now, don't forget, coming up in the second hour, Brandy Vaughan is back on the programme. First joined me last year, so it's over a year since she came on. Now, I was really anxious to get her back on the programme. And after we speak with Brandy, we're going to leave the issue of vaccines alone until the new year. We've given it a lot of coverage. I am very, very, very watchful and mindful of your comments about things that you like, that you want discussed on the programme, that you want investigated. And I am mindful when we are covering something extensively and giving it a bit of coverage. This is important tonight. We're going to do that with Brandy. And after that, then, and we're going to leave vaccines alone for a while. We've done a lot on it. Want to get Brandy on because I'm always aware that this particular programme, because of the way we do it and because of the effort we put into it, that's all of us involved with it, we are probably more likely than most alternate media programmes to reach people who think we're idiots. We're more likely because of the way we do what we do. We see evidence of it all the time. I want people to hear Brandy Vaughan talk about working for Merck, working on selling the drug Vioxx, which was deadly, which had massive consequences for people and which got Merck into serious trouble. I want people to hear about how these things get from the laboratory to the marketplace, effectively how they end up in our children's arms. Brandy's going to do that tonight. She's an immensely credible woman. And as I mentioned earlier on, she founded councilforvaccinesafety.org. That's the website, councilforvaccinesafety.org. The organisation is the Council for Vaccine Safety. So we'll get into that, of course, in the second hour. Hugely important story that, in light of the attention that the Irish women of regret, mostly women, not all women, in light of what they've experienced when they went public to ask questions about the safety of the the human papillomavirus vaccine, Gardasil, the HPV vaccine. So there's a bit of attention on us at the moment covering this particular issue. And I want people to hear what Brandy says. Right, another 60 tweets came in there. And how do I read them? Sean Hinchcliffe says, yes, the big electric switch off followed by the big cuppa where everyone switched the kettle on at 7:30 p.m. and caused a power surge, says Sean. Is that what I was thinking about, Sean? And was that as a result of people's absolute, you know, fed up to the back teeth of the power companies, or was there something else going on there? I vaguely remember this. So do let me know about that, switching off the power as well, you know. Paul Milliken tweets, Paul, welcome to the programme. Twitter also pushes globalist pro-Hillary message. Hashtag crooked Hillary no longer auto-completes when you are composing a tweet. And Martin Oak, singer-songwriter and great friend of ours, Facebook may be easier to convey a message, but surely a personal telephone call is better and is more human as well. Les Hewitt tweets, just switched on the radio. What have I missed? Well, Les, to be honest, you just missed a very opinionated presenter talking about Facebook, but you didn't miss too much else. Were due to speak with Cash Jackson on the programme. We're going to rearrange that for tomorrow or later in the week as well. Good stuff. Fieldmouse tweets, fight fire with fire. As if everyone is a combatant. They forget about the old, the young and the weak. Thanks very much for that as well. And look, something else I wanted to talk about, and I had planned on talking about earlier on before I kind of lost it, in the mini rant there. And that is the, as well as the football sex abuse story, which is a massive story, which we covered on the programme yesterday, and I'm sure we'll be covering it again in the near future. As well as that, the big story of the week has been more of the, I suppose, more of those who didn't get their way in the EU referendum coming out with more and more statements about how Brexit can be delayed, how people were lied to, how people didn't know they were voting to leave the single market. This has been a massive story this week. Think tanks coming out saying we need judicial reviews, that when people went to the ballot box on June 23rd, they didn't know that they were voting to leave the single market. Now, this is a massive lie. The question, which I mentioned yesterday on the referendum, on the ballot paper, was, if you just bear with me a second now, because I saved it, because I'm not the stupidest guy that ever lived. I did save it. What was the question again? Then I didn't save it, did I? Did I? No, I didn't save it, no. It was a one-line question anyway. Do you want Britain to remain a member of the European Union? Something as simple as that. Okay? So that's what they're saying, single market, single market, single market. And in propagating and perpetuating this absolute crap, what they're doing is they're, again, cementing in stone the massive lie that Britain is going to lose out somehow, or the UK is going to lose out somehow, if it leaves the single market. So this is what they're trying to do now. They're trying to confuse people who voted to leave by saying, you didn't really realise what you were voting for, did you? Did you? Did you now? Did you? You had no idea, did you, that we're going to lose so much money and all these benefits of being a member of the single market and all of this crap. Now, as I've pointed out on this programme, and I know you're tired of it, but because the mainstream media is putting this out day after day after day, we've got to keep reminding our listeners, and we've got new listeners joining all the time, these are the facts. The percentage of our, and I've learned, I'm not reading this, I've memorised this by heart. Not reading it, I'm proud to say. You big braggart, Richie. I'm not reading it because I've said it so many times. When I say our, I mean the UK. I live in the UK now. The percentage of our overall exports to the UK has been going backwards over the last 15 to 20 years. I've told you before, 52% of UK exports go to, let me just get that right now in my head, 52% of British exports, UK exports, used to go to the European Union. That's right, used to. Right. I can't give you false information here. Right, I've got it, bang on. We used to export 52% of our overall goods to the European Union. It's now 45%. Right? That's because the UK is doing well with developing economies around the world. They're doing good business with developing economies around the world. And nobody could make an argument that this isn't going to continue. It is going to continue. And as I've mentioned to you 1,000 times on the programme, since joining the European Economic Community, exports to non-EU countries from the UK have grown, but exports to EU member states has decreased. So there's never been any tangible benefit to the United Kingdom being in the European Economic Community or the European Union. Exports to European countries are going down, exports to countries elsewhere in the world going up. But at the same time, the European Union, as a percentage of its exports, excuse me, the European Union's exports to the UK are going up. Okay? At the moment, 55% of Britain's imports come from EU member countries. I've made a complete balls of that, but I've just given it you straight. Right? We used to do better with our exports to the EU, but not anymore. It's gone down. We take in more than we export to them. which makes a mockery of the idea that the UK would be punished for leaving the European Union and the single market. European Union member states have everything to lose, nothing to gain by trying to punish the UK with tariffs and stuff. They will never impose tariffs on exports to companies coming from the UK. They will never do that. It's madness. Because as I mentioned before on this programme, what the UK could do in return is say, right, cars, wine, clothing manufacturers, foods from Europe, cheeses, everything. Well, we'll crucify that. And I also mentioned several times that there are 2.3 million EU citizens living here in the UK, and there are 2.2 million British citizens in the European Union. So there's no need for a stupid, childish pissing contest about kicking people out of countries. It benefits nobody. So the 2.3 million EU citizens living in Britain can stay here because they're working here, they've put roots down here. Equally, the 2.2 million British tourists, British citizens living in the EU can stay there as well. Couldn't be simpler. But they're lying. And it is a constant avalanche. It's a barrage. Every news channel you turn on, they're giving you this one-sided story. This lie that people didn't know what they were voting for. We're going to have to do it again. And every day they roll out some other captain of industry or some other economist or some other journalist to keep repeating this narrative. We should be a member of the single market. The government lied. And I'm not going to do it again, but we played for you on Sunday View a whole raft of voices from the government and from Boris Johnson and Michael Gove, those who wanted to leave. All of them very clear at the very outset, a vote to leave would mean leaving the European Union. Seriously important story that, and of course we're going to be following that as well. Again, massive amounts of tweets coming in. Dean tweets, we can make whatever we want. That's Dean Smith. We can make whatever we want. The wine bit would worry me. Laugh out loud, says Dean. I'm sure we could make wine, Dean. In fact, way back when, the actual centuries elude me. But historically, we had a climate that was so warm here that vines were grown in Yorkshire. So much for global warming and climate change and all of that. D tweets, on RT today, anti-EU party leading in polls in the Netherlands. Nexit will be next. I'm looking forward to air exit. Let's get out, says D. I wouldn't hold my breath, D, about Ireland, and I'm not trying to depress you at all. I wouldn't hold my breath. David Kona tweets, does anybody know anything about the story of Julian Assange going missing? Is this true or a non-story? There was some stuff online saying that Assange had been taken to Guantanamo Bay. This is clickbait, I think we call it. Your Newswire. Is it investment blog or investmentwatchblog.com or something like that? Nonsense, crap, clickbait, bullshit. David has done video casts on this. The headline is not supported by the text. It's all a con. Stupid stories to get you to click on it. There was one doing the rounds today that said Trump had hired a guy specifically to get rid of the Federal Reserve. I'm sure it got tens of thousands of clicks. It's bullshit. He hasn't done. Nor will Donald Trump appoint anybody to take on the Federal Reserve. It's the last thing on his mind as well. Hugo tweets, artist Marina Abramovic is doing a live AMA on Tumblr tomorrow. Good opportunity for polite questioning. One to take a look at, says Hugo. What's AMA, by the way? What's that an abbreviation for? I am tired this Tuesday and my brain has gone to sleep. What's AMA? Let me know what AMA is. And I'll let you know. Right, news is next after Chris Rea. And then Brandy Vaughan will join me in the second hour of Your Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. Always good to be with you. Thanks for the massive amount of tweets coming in there. Keep them coming in at Richie Allen Show. I'll keep reading them out as they come in. And you don't want to miss Brandy Vaughan, who joins me, former Merck rep in the second hour. She's got lots to say.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. A charter aircraft carrying 81 people, including a top Brazilian football team, has crashed in Colombia. Colombian authorities say that several people were pulled alive from the wreckage, though one of them died on the way to the hospital. So far, ongoing rescue efforts have been hampered by bad weather. Andrea Arenas has this report.
The entire Brazilian Chapecoense soccer team were among the 72 passengers and 9 crew members on board the aircraft. Brazilian President Michel Temer has announced 3 days of national mourning. The South American football governing body, CONMEBOL, has canceled all games scheduled as part of the Copa Sudamericana until further notice. The Chapecoense was traveling to play in the first leg of the Copa Sudamericana final against Atlético Nacional, a game that was to take place on Wednesday in Medellin.
The United Nations says 16,000 people have fled Aleppo as the Syrian government continues to make gains in the rebel-held parts of the city. With no hospitals and food supplies all but exhausted, the UN expects many more to escape over the coming days. Nick Harper reports from UN headquarters in New York.
UN humanitarian chief Stephen O'Brien said the situation in eastern Aleppo was deeply alarming as thousands of civilians try to run from the intensified attacks. Over the last few days, the Syrian army has swept across the northern part of the besieged city, and rebels have been pulling back. Meanwhile, the UN's envoy to Syria, Staffan de Mistura, has made an appeal to the incoming US President Donald Trump to increase efforts to combat the so-called Islamic State in Syria and Iraq. Yet he urged the US and Russia to work more closely.
Meanwhile, a military investigation in the U.S. has found that unintentional human errors led to a coalition strike on Syrian forces in September that killed at least 15 government troops. They were targeted by American, British, Australian, and Danish fighter jets and drones. Lorna Shattuck has the details.
The coalition report into the attack says 34 precision-guided missiles and 380 rounds of ammunition were fired at the Syrian regime forces, believed at the time to be from the so-called Islamic State group. They weren't wearing recognizable uniforms or badges. At the time of the attack near the city of Deir ez-Zor, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad claimed it was definitely intentional. The report says the coalition did phone Russian military command to notify them that their planes would be striking the area, but the location given to the Russians was wrong by several kilometers, an error investigators put down to a lack of knowledge of the terrain. In the end, the attack was only stopped when the Russian military called the US-led coalition to tell them they were striking Syrian forces. Russia says 62 Syrians were killed.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thanks, Rebecca. It's exactly 3.5 minutes past the hour. I was a bit late on the old news there. I nearly forgot to take it in. Just got it in the nick of time. Had to restart it, actually. Well, there you are. Just one of those bloody days it's been today. Welcome back to your Richie Allen Show. Thank you for the tweets. Keep them coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show. We broadcast live every Monday to Thursday at 8 p.m. GMT on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, Alternate Current Radio, and the TuneIn app. That's where we are. That's where we are. Sundays as well, although the television show is coming back real soon in a different type of format to the one we were doing before. So I'll tell you more about that in due course as well. In the meantime, though, it's time to crack on. Just had a quick chat with Brandy Vaughan. Extraordinary lady. She's standing by to chat to us good old Pacific time. She'll be with us shortly. Richie at richieallen.co.uk, at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Talk to me. Talk to me now.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com.
I've not even got any music ready. It's just been one of those days. One of those days, yeah. I don't know whether it's the weather. You know that fatigue that you get sometimes, that mental fatigue. I don't know whether it's the weather or not. I don't know. It was beautiful today despite the coldness. I mean, it was freezing today. It was absolutely freezing. But it was beautiful. I mean, to look out at it from inside Beavering away, it was absolutely gorgeous. But yeah, it's being cold. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm on the menopause. Maybe that's it. I don't know at all. Right. So, I know you'll have a lot to say to Brandy Vaughan. I'll get through as many of your tweets and your questions as I possibly can. So, as usual, just tweet them to me. Let me know what you'd like me to ask her, and I will put those questions to her. In the meantime, while I get her on, let's have some music then. Alrighty. So this is CeeLo Green. Brandy Vaughan is next. CeeLo Green, Bright Lights, Bigger City on the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. Welcome back to the programme. Tuesday, November 29th, 2016. Tuesday's programme. Let's crack on with it then, and let's introduce you to our next guest. She was on the programme last year, and we were incredibly impressed with her and what she'd achieved with the Council for Vaccine Safety, which is an organisation she founded. Now, this was in response to one of the first mandatory vaccination for education laws, that's SB 277 in California, which we talked about a lot on this programme. Of course, why wouldn't we? That's not gone away as well. It's reared its ugly head in many places. Didn't we see something in Italy recently where daycare for children said that children who weren't vaccinated couldn't come to daycare? I think that was reported by RT. Now, our guest is a former pharmaceutical representative. In fact, she repped for Merck. And you can find her at councilforvaccinesafety.org. I'm delighted to welcome back to the programme, all the way from California, Brandy Vaughan. Brandy, welcome back. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having me on the show again.
It's great to have you on. First of all, though, I'm going to rib you a little bit. Vaughan, right? You've got some Irish connections, right?
Actually, it was a step-grandfather's name that my father took. So, unfortunately, I do have some British and Scottish ancestry, but the name is not a family name particularly.
Okay, the reason I asked is because you gave me a very Irish answer to a question I asked you 30 seconds ago. I said, "Where are you, Brandy?" What was your response?
Here, waiting for your call.
Here, waiting for your call. Of course, I meant geographically. Yeah, it's a really Irish answer, that. Of course, you're in California. I knew that, but I was thrown by something else I'd seen on Skype. Listen, I've been asked to put so many different questions to you about so many different things. First up, I've got to start with regret.ie, the Irish families reporting on debilitating illnesses being experienced by young teenage girls who've had the Gardasil vaccine, the human papilloma virus vaccine, HPV, Brandy, have you followed that story, and what have you made of it? What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it's really a travesty what they're doing to the families of the injured girls and boys, because the media is really doing a number on them. And that's, you know, as we've seen in other situations, mostly fueled by pharma. The Gardasil vaccine, HPV vaccines, both of them, but particularly Gardasil, is really, really high in the side effects and reactions rate. In fact, there were some studies done in Denmark, some of the pre-release studies, and the doctor there, Dr. Mendelsohn, who was running the studies for Merck, actually now has come out and said that the incident and serious reaction rate to the vaccine is 1 in 500 girls, whereas the World Health Organization says your risk of cervical cancer, of actually getting cervical cancer, is 1 in 40,000. And most of those cases are in the third world countries. And cervical cancer can easily be detected precancerous through pap smears. So, you know, it's always a risk benefit reward. And in the case of the HPV vaccine, you know, and Gardasil, it is, the risks are very, very, very high for very, very, very little reward. In fact, the average age of cervical cancer is 50. So we're looking at a vaccine that the consultant for Merck said, Dr. Diane Harper has claimed, doesn't even, you know, last longer than 8 years. It's never been proven to even be effective, in minimally effective, for 8 years. And in some girls and boys, it's not effective at all.
This is,
so what we're seeing is a real travesty. I mean, it's a push for dollars. Profit over people.
It's amazing, Brandy, that people aren't willing to just take a little step back and be a little bit more objective. And I mean the general public, because they must know or have some inkling as to how much money big pharmaceutical companies spend with broadcasting organizations. So they must know this, Brandy. I mean, any of them, whether it's GlaxoSmithKline, whether it's Merck, their advertising budget with the networks is absolutely huge. And for a member of the general public to say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory to suggest that the pharma companies would be influencing the editorial policy of the news channels. Brandy, they need to wake up, don't they? Big Pharma spends billions with these broadcasting companies.
Oh, yes. And actually, there are links to individual journalists as well. And there is a lot of gray money, as I call it. So money that's being, you know, given through a foundation or a pharma front group to, you know, certain projects or foundations that are then, you know, sending, overwhelming the press with press releases that are completely written by pharma, but look like they're coming from a different source. There's all of this kind of stuff going on. And then a lot of money funneled into the media itself. I know here in the US, it's $18.2 billion a year in advertising on general media. And of course, you know, you don't bite the hand that feeds you.
No, you don't.
So they pretty much take pharma written press releases as, you know, the word of God. And they, you know, don't consider the other side. They don't report on the risks. They get in trouble. In fact, reporters here in the U.S. who have reported on a lot of the serious side effects that we're seeing, particularly of HPV, but also the flu shot, the MMR, DTaP, all of these, they are, you know, being reprimanded and sometimes completely fired because of this. So we have to understand where a lot of this information is coming. And then, you know, Regret is doing an amazing job in Ireland at getting the word out. But in a lot of these other countries, there aren't groups that are organized. So girls and boys are being injured all over the world, but their parents don't have that access to the media that pharmaceutical companies do, and other foundations and academia, which, again, is mostly sponsored by pharma these days, unfortunately, when it comes to drugs and vaccines. And so, you know, we're seeing Regret do a lot of work in Ireland, but a lot of other countries and a lot of other girls and families are experiencing this around the world, and they aren't quite as organized. In Denmark, though, there's a huge push against a lot of the HPV marketing, and they're doing really an amazing job over there. In fact, the Cochrane Collaboration has been writing warning letters to the EMA saying, you know, pharmaceutical companies are pushing things that are actually hurting our health, and we need to really correct this because a lot of doctors and media and lawmakers are on the dole and being paid. But, you know, in Japan, there's actually a class action lawsuit against Merck for the HPV vaccine. And there are dozens of girls that are experiencing much the same symptoms as the girls in Ireland and the girls in Denmark. And, you know, systemic autoimmune issues, inflammation of the nervous system and the brain, falling, lupus, arthritis, you know, paralysis, muscle atrophy, you know, a lot of really or seizure type experience as well, seizures and fainting and arrhythmia and really, really sick autoimmune type issues, and that are being seen in girls that, you know, have no reason to be having these reactions. They were perfectly healthy before the vaccine, and then all of these types of reactions are happening. And if you look at the insert for Gardasil specifically, they are listed as adverse events. And so, you know, seeing the media portray these families and children as making this up, you know, you can, all they have to do is see, is look at the insert itself and see the warnings on there. In fact, one of the black box warnings on the Merck insert says, you know, fainting and seizure-like activity is very common. It's a warning that the FDA has put on the front page of the insert, because it is so common in post follow-up studies and followings. So we're seeing parents and children be villainized almost, and it's a tragedy, because what the pharmaceutical companies are doing is they're pushing profit, you know, over people's health. And to see the media buy into this and push this as well, I mean, it's tragic for these girls, for these families. It's like being injured all over again. And, you know, it is happening all over the world. So these are very common. In fact, here in the U.S., the American College of Pediatricians issued a warning and new concerns officially this year about the HPV vaccine, and it's linked to premature ovarian failure and premature menopause. So we're seeing that as a side effect as well as, you know, death and other things. So we are seeing, in fact, in the insert itself for Gardasil, I was just looking it up while I was waiting for the call. We see 245 out of 10,000 girls reporting massive, serious adverse events after receiving the Gardasil injections. And we're talking lupus, arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, which never hits adolescents. It didn't before we had so many vaccines. Cancer, death, all of these types of things, arrhythmia. And this is right on the insert. You know,
it's,
we're
on,
not
their
making
insert.
This up.
No, you're not making it up. And I can verify that, because some of our skeptical listeners will be expecting me to challenge you on every figure. But I've seen that data as well. And you know what really annoys me, Brandy, is that some people will, I sound like Fox News now, some people will say, but I know that some of the skeptics will say, 245 out of 10,000, they will say that's not a big percentage. This is hilarious. They say that 90 to 100 women die annually in the Republic of Ireland of cervical cancer. Yet, there are 1.5 million females in Ireland aged between 14 and 64. So they want, on the one hand, you know, they say that that's 90 people die, 0.006%. That's huge. That's huge. We need to vaccinate every child in the country. But then they'll tell you 245 out of 10,000 isn't serious. It is serious. That's a massive number as a percentage of 10,000, right?
Right. We're talking lifetime issues, yeah. Multiple sclerosis. See, I'm reading it from the insert right here. Multiple MS, psoriasis, arthritis, lupus, different syndromes, autoimmune thyroiditis, celiac disease, all of this. And then what we're seeing is that the vaccine has never been proven to prevent cancer, and it's being marketed like that. And again, 1 in 40,000 according to the World Health Organization, risk of getting cervical cancer, 80-some percent of those happen in third world countries where there is no pap smear program. So, and actually, cervical cancer is a fairly treatable disease when caught early, when caught through a pap smear. And again, even on the insert, Gardasil's insert, it says, just because you have Gardasil does not mean you have to miss your pap smears, right? So, you know, it's really a risk-benefit ratio here. And considering cervical cancer affects normally people over 50, you know, and now we're seeing it in younger people. And there is one thing about the insert that is particularly interesting. It's for girls that have been exposed to certain types of HPV before receiving the vaccine, and then they receive the vaccine. There are certain anomalies in the numbers, and it seems that it could be that the vaccine is actually increasing cervical cancer rates and the strength of certain HPV subsets after if the girls have received the vaccine after they've been exposed to HPV. So right now what I'm seeing, I know personally I've been approached by three different girls in their early 20s in the last 6 months that have been diagnosed with cervical cancer, and they all received the HPV vaccine.
And they had the vaccine, right?
They had the vaccine. So to give you a perspective on this, the NHS doesn't even do pap smears for anyone under 25 because cervical cancer rates were so rare. It was so rare in anyone under 25. And now we're seeing cases of girls in their early 20s getting the vaccine and being diagnosed with cervical cancer. That used to be incredibly, incredibly rare.
So what you're saying is, Brandy, there must be a correlation between the huge uptake of the Gardasil vaccine with these women in their early 20s getting ill, basically. There must be.
I'm saying that it is no longer as rare as it used to be.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we
yeah.
have to think about what's happening here, because the only thing that has really changed, you know, because in general, cancer rates in adults are somewhat going down. But cervical cancer now, it used to be 50, the average age, and now it's going down, it's decreasing. And we're seeing more and more cases in a subset of people that it was so rare to see cervical cancer before. And the thing that has changed mostly in the last, you know, 7-8 years is we're giving a cervical cancer vaccine. So, you know, as with all vaccines, you are actually giving the virus. Yes, it's dead, and you know, they say things like that, but you have no idea how your body is really going to react to that. The immune system is incredibly complicated. We don't have an immune pathway from the arm, so you know, we're only initiating small increases, temporary increases in antibodies. We're not initiating full immune response, and we have no idea, you know, the toxins that are in the vaccine, aluminum, which is particularly a very nasty neurotoxin. It's a known neurotoxin.
Brandy, sorry for interrupting you again now, but I'm thrilled you're on the program. Go to councilforvaccinesafety.org, folks. The reason I'm interrupting, Brandy, is you're making very good points. And we don't brag here, but as a show, we're a rare breed of a radio program. We have a lot of skeptics listening to this. and I respect them. And I want them to hear the other side of something before they make their minds up on it. I don't want to be dogmatic. And you're not dogmatic, and it's brilliant. But I just want you to address, because when you mention aluminium, aluminum, when you say it's a neurotoxin, it's absolutely deadly, the skeptic jumps right in and starts screaming, these are in tiny, 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 tiny amounts. They can't hurt anybody. And it's only in there to act as a stabilizer, the same as mercury. Explain to them, because you can do it so much better than I can, obviously. Explain to them why they need to rethink this idea that it's in such small trace amounts it can't be harmful. Why are they wrong?
Right. So the issue that we're dealing with is the difference between ingestion, and which is basically if you drink something or eat something, and injection. Injection is far more potent. And there are studies, I can actually send you them, peer-reviewed reports on the different methods, particularly on aluminium, as you call it. And it shows that when you do it IV or intravenous or an intramuscular injection, as vaccines are done, it is far, far more potent. And the aluminum is basically transient in the body, and it's absorbed into body tissues upwards of 90% when it's injected. So 90% when when you eat something with aluminum in it or formaldehyde in a pear, which we always get as well, right? Then, 90% of that is filtered out through the body through the body's detox measures. So through stomach acids, through the mucosa layer, liver, kidney, all of these things. We have these in our body to process these toxins and get them out of our system. So there are amazing studies that show how much more potent things are when they are injected. So it could be tiny amounts, but these tiny amounts are causing a lot of damage, even in tiny amounts, because they are injected. And again, the body tissues absorb upwards of 90% of aluminum and other chemicals that are injected. So it is far more potent. It's kind of like when people say that, I say, okay, well, arsenic, it's a known poison as well. Would you, even in a tiny amount, would you want that, And then again, it goes back to the risk-benefit ratio. And with Gardasil, I mean, the risks are far, far higher. What we're seeing with the vaccine, and, this many, many, many doctors around the world have come out against as saying this. And in fact, there's a doctor out of France who used to work for Merck who said Gardasil will be the biggest medical scandal in the world.
No doubt it will be. Listen, I don't want to, again, get in your way, but we've got probably 25 minutes left on this, and there's some brilliant questions coming in. I've been asked to ask you for a comment, first of all, on the story coming out of Emilia-Romagna in Italy, where the region has basically decreed that parents cannot leave their children at daycare if the youngsters haven't been vaccinated. That's at any daycare facility in Emilia-Romagna. This is insane, Brandy, isn't it? How could an unvaccinated child be of any threat or any danger to anybody who's vaccinated? And isn't it the other way around? Aren't vaccinated children shedding the virus and potentially causing illness?
Right. It's one of these, first of all, it's tragic that governments are allowing themselves to be convinced by pharmaceutical companies that they need to mandate any kind of pharmaceutical product, because all pharmaceutical products have risks and vaccines have serious side effects and risk, as do all pharmaceutical drugs. And because they're injected and not even, they don't go through the natural detox pathway in the body, they are far more potent. And it's, we're seeing more, we're seeing a lot of pushback, but we're also seeing a lot of governments that are, buddy-buddy with the pharmaceutical industry, and they are pushing through these mandates. Here in California, we saw it, and you can actually track the pharmaceutical money that went to the senators that had authored the bill that mandated 35 vaccines before school for children here in California. And you can actually see, and that's only the money that's tracked, you can see that the senators that wrote that bill got more pharmaceutical money that, in their campaign in that year. So, that's the money we see, the benefits, the consulting and all of those, which are kind of the gray money, as I call it, it's there, but less trackable. So, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy that people that should be working for us are working for the pharmaceutical companies and putting profit before people, because every procedure that has a risk, it cannot be mandatory. You can't mandate a certain type of car, right? Because we should all have a choice. We should all be able to shop and say, okay, this one we feel is safer than this one. This one may not fit. This is one size fits all. That might not fit for my child. My child may have different reactions. These types of things. You cannot mandate a pharmaceutical product or a medical treatment. It just goes against, it's a human right fundamentally to be able to decide what goes into our body. It's like mandating a certain food. Okay, everybody has to eat Cheerios, which basically has pesticides in it, for breakfast every morning. Like that just, I mean, people would be outraged, right?
They should be outraged.
We should have the choice as to what goes into our body, period. It doesn't matter if it's a vaccine. It doesn't matter if it's a pharmaceutical drug. We should have the choice to what goes into our body, because we are the ones, and our health is going to suffer. We're the ones that have to deal with the fallout if something goes wrong. The people that believe in vaccines, that believe that they work, then what doesn't matter. You are vaccinated, right? You would be protected in your mind. So what does it matter if there is an unvaccinated child? There's no more risk of that child actually developing that disease, right? So it's, you know, in a lot of these childhood diseases that used to be normal in childhood, you know, I like to think of the immune system in childhood as a muscle. You know, it needs to be stimulated, right? We have hundreds of viruses in our body at all times. It's only when our immune system is damaged or is down that one of them kind of manifests, right? So we have these things in our body all the time because we have to stimulate that immune system. We have to keep it going. It's kind of like adding gas to a car. If you take out the gas, the car doesn't work anymore. So we're seeing a lot of these usual childhood illnesses that we had, you know, back in the 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s that are now being shown to reduce cancer risk. There's a lot of great research going on with that, you know, measles, rubella, mumps, reducing cancer risks in adults because it builds our immune system in a way that we can better react to things later down the line. And we're seeing them now forcing vaccines for these things, and we're seeing the risks of those vaccines. We're seeing massive autoimmune and neurological issues and cancer in rates that we have never seen. The U.S. has the highest vaccine schedule, and now the leading disease death in children is cancer. You know, that used to, when I was growing up, that used to be a disease of older people, of course. You know, and it's a disease of toxicity. So it's not a genetic disease. It's a disease of toxicity. We've been exposed to too many toxins in our life. You know, now, say we have a cough and we can only handle so much.
This is
important.
And
now it's happening in children.
This is brilliant because this segues nicely into the next question. Now, you'll be aware that Frontiers in Public Health have just done a survey. Now, admittedly, it's a very small sample survey. They've conducted a study of 650 children. And they've compared those children who were vaccinated against those who were unvaccinated. Now, in the, again, very small study, and I don't know if it's been peer-reviewed or not, but we're going to mention it anyway, they have found that the vaccinated kids had a higher rate of allergies and autism spectrum disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and learning disability. They had a far higher rate of those, you know, very serious, we hear about these things all the time, these conditions, than the unvaccinated. Now, I'm sure you're aware of this. This is potentially very serious, isn't it? I know it's a small sample, 650, but it clearly shows those vaccinated had ASD, ADHD, and learning disability. The unvaccinated didn't.
So
are you aware of that study? And
yes, it's a survey.
It's a survey. So you don't want to give it, you don't want to give it too much credence, right? You don't want to.
Well,
give it...
I mean, I think that there was one that I even find even more interesting, and you know, and that was an unvaccinated vaccinated survey out of Germany, which sampled 17,000, almost 18,000 subjects,
bigger.
0 to 17 years, and it's called the KIG study, and that was published in 2011, and it showed very, very similar things to what that survey shows, that autoimmune issues and neurological issues are far more prevalent in a vaccinated population. And that, you know, that has a little bit more, well, it's, you know, close to 18,000 involved.
Right, that's a massive
sample.
So,
and that was done in Germany. So a little bit, you know, yeah. Anyway, it's, again, a survey, but, you know, really interesting things that are coming out about, the health of the unvaccinated. And I can tell you, even, you know, anecdotally, I know a lot of unvaccinated children, and we're talking about, including my own, children that have never been on antibiotics, don't have ear infections, don't have allergies,
don't have asthma.
Don't have psoriasis in the levels. And these are just the lighter of the damage that, that vaccines can do. You know, there's 1 in 15 now in the U.S. children have a seizure disorder. And, you know, a third of epileptics can, you know, often die from a major seizure event. So we're looking at 1 in 15 children you now have seizure disorder. This is unheard of. Unheard of back when I was a child, you know, and if you look at the amount of toxins that are in the vaccines and the schedule, it has just jumped. And so we're seeing skyrocketing rates of epilepsy, type 1 diabetes, cancer, of course, leukemia, autoimmune issues like asthma, allergies. One in every two children in the U.S. has some kind of chronic illness. So, you know, we're kind of replacing a week of measles, if even a week. You know, I've been hearing lots of stories of people, oh, I got measles, it was only 3 days. You know, chicken pox, yeah. Things that they don't even vaccinate for in a lot of Europe. And, you know, 2 or 3 days that's building up your immune system. But yeah, you may have to stay home from school. But, you know, you're trading it for a chronic lifetime issue that can be very, very serious. Again, 30% of epileptics die of epilepsy sometime in their lifetime. So, you know, is it really worth it? You know, are we really, you know, protecting our children's health or are we damaging it? And if you look at the ingredients, again, aluminum, formaldehyde, you know, a lot of these polysorbate 80, MSG, a lot of these things that are in the vaccines and being absorbed into body tissues because it's injected, you know, are we damaging, you know, are we really protecting the health or are we damaging it? And I think that studies like, well, surveys like this are really eye-opening to really show how normal it is, particularly in the U.S. now, because we have, again, the highest vaccine schedule, how common and normal it is to be sick. In fact, I have to tell the story because it is shocking to me. You know, my son is completely unvaccinated and he was at the park the other day and he came up to me after and he's like, yeah, mommy, that kid just asked me what I was allergic to. And I was like, he asked you what you were allergic to. This is how it's playground talk now. Like everybody's allergic to something here in the US. So it's so common that children are asking it. And my son isn't allergic to anything. And so he made up something. I said, well, what did you say? And he said, I told him I was allergic to spiders and mice. And that is so sad that my son, you know, is surrounded by such sick peers that it's normal to be allergic to something. You know, it's not normal to be allergic to food. It's not normal to be allergic to the air we breathe to survive, right? Hay fever and seasonal allergies. But when your immune system is going into overdrive and it's going into chaos because you're injecting, you know, multiple viruses into the arm, which is not a natural immune pathway, as well as toxins, which again, there's no detox pathway from the arm. You know, our body's going into chaos and it starts fighting itself, autoimmune issues. The toxins lodge in all different parts of the body, particularly the brain for, you know, neurological issues and the gut. But we're also seeing aluminum being in the joints of arthritic patients as well. And, you know, we're seeing so many of these things that are now common when, you know, I think that I would, you know, the usual childhood diseases and illnesses, chicken pox, which I had, measles, mumps, rubella, which later lower your risk for cancer. You know, we're trading those for lifetime chronic illness.
It's shocking to me. We're of a similar age, you and I absolutely concur with you that when I was in primary school, you'd call it grade school, I suppose, there was nobody in the class with asthma. I don't remember anybody being asthmatic. I know there were certainly no warnings about nuts brandy. Nobody had to worry about nut allergies. This just didn't exist. I know this. And I've got a memory like an elephant. I've got, I can never pronounce it properly, an eidetic memory. I know this wasn't the case. We used to actually blame allergies and stuff on cleaning products. And I think there's a whole other discussion to be had about how we are, you know, cleaning ourselves out of existence, you know, all these unbelievable products that we use, not good either. But I'm with right. you. All the evidence points to the massive increase in the vaccine schedule, which began, of course, in the mid to late 1980s, if I'm right in saying that. And if you look at it, you know, to primary school, young children going to school in the mid to late 90s, that's when we started seeing this level of, as you said, these autoimmune issues. I had a guy on the show last week advocating for vaccines. We actually finally got a guy to come on to, you know, advocate for vaccines and to dismiss the problems that the women of regret.ie are experiencing. This guy came on and he actually had the temerity to say to me, well, we're living longer than ever. But he couldn't answer that. We've never been sicker. Whether our lifespan has increased in terms of the average age with which we shuffle off the mortal coil, the fact is we've never been sicker. We've never seen houses like today, Brandy, with medicine cabinets. You open these, you go into anybody's bathroom, you go to somebody for a barbecue, go to their house, go for a sleepover, send your kids to somebody else's for a sleepover. We've got these medicine cabinets. They're like pharmaceutical companies. They're like, aren't they? We've never been sicker.
You know, we are. We are far sicker than we've ever been. And a lot of these chronic issues and autoimmune issues in adults as well, not just children. But it's a good sampling because they get so many vaccines. It's a good way to show what's happening. But, you know, for all those skeptics out there, it's not only the vaccines, but because they're injected, the chemicals and the toxins are more potent than ingested. But our body can only handle so much toxic load. So all of these autoimmune issues, which you can go check the definitions on the Mayo Clinic, autoimmune issues, cancer, these are not genetic. These are issues of toxicity. So we have too many toxins we're exposed to in our environment, as well as with vaccines. And when we tip that point, our tipping point, which is different for everybody, depending on genetics and prior exposure. Once we hit that tipping point, it is going to manifest in some way in our body, be it cancer, autoimmune issue, neurological issues, when we're just overloaded with toxins. So it's not just the vaccines, it's a combination of all of it. But the vaccines have to be a big part of this conversation because, again, these things that are injected are far, far more potent than anything ingested and inhaled. And we are sicker than ever. And we are seeing certain issues and parents coming out saying things were triggered right after the vaccines, particularly with, you know, you can see it with Gardasil. And the reason we can see it with Gardasil so much is because usually they're not getting as many vaccines at one time as teenagers. And they're teenagers. They're talking. They can tell you what's going on, right? They can pinpoint where the pain is and in the injury. So we're seeing a lot of, you know, stories about that, but it's happening, you know, so we can see it being triggered by the vaccines because it's such a toxic shock it's a shock of toxins because it's injected and it's right away. So,
a baby has no chance,
have
Brandy.
To be a part of the conversation when we talk about how sick we are and all of these diseases of toxicity.
Absolutely. And my friend and colleague, David Icke, is constantly asking the question, how can it be considered advisable or, you know, medically sound to overwhelm a baby whose immune system hasn't developed anyway, to overwhelm the baby with a tidal wave of the toxins that you've just described? And just before you answer that or comment on that, again, the skeptics will say, these vaccines have been tested on thousands and thousands and thousands of girls. They go through rigorous testing. They are scrutinized more than anything else. If there was a problem, it would be seen in the testing phase. This is what they say. It's what they keep coming back with. So I'd like you to respond to that and put them straight on that.
So one thing that a lot of people don't fully understand is that all of the safety data and all of the safety trials are done by the pharmaceutical company themselves. They are the ones who are employing researchers and consultants to conduct the studies, right? So all of that information is basically being compiled and filtered by the company that stands to profit off of the vaccine or the drug. It's the same with pharmaceutical drugs. So any, you know, study protocols, if there's any subset that doesn't really fit what they're looking for, they can filter it out. And, you know, pharmaceutical companies basically come with their end product, right, with all the data they have interpreted and you know, compiled to the FDA. The FDA doesn't do their own research on vaccines and drugs. A lot of people just really can't comprehend this. And then they look at this nice packet that comes from the pharmaceutical company, and then they say, okay, well, it looks good enough, you know, and, you know, they pretty much rubber stamp it. So we really need to understand that the FDA is not really protecting us like we think it is. And in Gardasil, I love to go back to this because you can see that Gardasil, the placebo, is not a real placebo. So a lot of these vaccine trials, almost all of them, don't use real saline placebos. So it's nearly impossible to predict real safety and see the side effects of a vaccine in trials when you're putting it up against, like with Gardasil, it was put up against a shot of aluminum. So the most one of the most toxic ingredients in Gardasil. So the Gardasil vaccine with the, you know, HPV virus in there. And then you have it going up against a shot of aluminum. So, you know, oh, this Gardasil was just as safe as an aluminum shot, which is a known neurotoxin. So, you know, comparatively, they both have the same amount of damage and side effects. So it's safe. No, both had both subsets had massive side effects, like the 240 out of the 10,400. You know, that is a huge risk of side effects when you're looking at a disease that mostly affects older adults in third world countries. You know, and it, you know, we're really risking a lot, and the side effects that are, you know, last a lifetime and damage healthy girls and boys. So, you know, the safety testing that is done, it's done by the pharmaceutical company and they filter and compile all the data themselves. And B, they aren't using proper placebos. They aren't safety tested properly. And C, we have a lot of doctors, particularly Dr. Diane Harper, who was a Merck consultant here in the States with the trials. And then Dr. Jesper Mendelsohn out of Denmark, who ran the trials in Denmark, both coming out saying this vaccine is causing much more damage than there is any benefit. And we really need to rethink this. And again, Mendelsohn averaged the average massive life-destroying side effect at 1 in 500 girls. And again, World Health Organization, 1 in 40,000 risk of even getting cervical cancer, right? And when you do get it, it's a fairly treatable cancer. So, you know, and it can be prevented usually through pap smear programs. So that's why we see most cervical cancer cases being done, being, you know, coming out of third world countries where there aren't pap smear programs. So, you know, really, we have to step back and we need to really understand that this vaccine particularly and other vaccines as well are being pushed for profit, right? Pharmaceutical companies do not care about your health. They care about their bottom line. And we have to step back and do our own research. We have to question everything. And we have to take our health in our own hands. And a lot of times that means saying no to certain things, like Gardasil is, in my opinion, a vaccine no one should ever, ever get. And we need to step back and really get the full picture of what's going on here. And what we're being told is not really what's going on.
Let me just give a big plug to your website again. And then I've got one final question you, by the way.
Learn, because I have a new campaign that's also launched. And so it's at learntherisk.org. And I've done a lot more on there. I actually have a lot of aluminum studies on there and a lot of great resources. So it's learntherisk.org.
Learntherisk.org. Right. We're going to tweet that out. It's learntherisk.org, folks. Brandy Vaughan on the line to us there, who also set up the Council for Vaccine Safety. It's an indictment.
Right, and it's actually a nonprofit, and we've done a lot of education. We've done 20 billboards all across the U.S., and we're always doing more and more programs, PSAs and radio spots and education. And, you know, we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we're always looking for help through voices, time, and support, and financially as well. So to get this word out and get people to understand that, you know, protection doesn't come from a needle. You know, we don't need injection for protection. We need to boost up our immune systems, and we need to, that's where our real protection lies. And we need to question what's going into vaccines because they aren't really safe. And really getting people to connect the dots, that these side effects we are seeing, you know, it's toxic overload, and vaccines are a part of that. So yeah, please come visit us and learn more there. We have great resources.
You know,
we're starting up groups in Europe as well.
Well, that's great news, and we'll follow that closely. You always have a platform here. It is an indictment on the media, of course, that they wouldn't seek out Dr. Harper and Dr. Mendelsohn and give them 5 minutes of airtime, particularly the Irish and the Danish media. But again, that's what we expect from the media. They were involved with the testing, and they've told the truth about how the testing was carried out. Last question for you. Your new president tweeted a couple of times in the past about vaccines, and you know, there was talk of maybe his son being on the autism spectrum. Do you believe that vaccines are something that he believes is a serious issue? Do you believe that he has concerns about the health of his son because of vaccination? And what about him maybe considering to reverse and stop the mandating of vaccines? What do you think?
So I can't really speak to his son's medical condition or put words in Trump's mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if his son was vaccinated on the CDC schedule. A lot of boys particularly have had neurological issues with this. You know, we're talking probably one in every four or five boys, and it could be as, you know, as simple as speech delays or, you know, developmental delays, all of this. So I wouldn't be surprised. You know, a lot of boys are suffering from the vaccine schedule that we see in the US. I don't know about him specifically. As for Trump's policies, you know, I really believe that Obamacare was going to be a platform for mandating vaccines. And Trump has said that he does want to repeal that. And, you know, when Obamacare was pushed through, you know, a lot of people in Europe have a wrong impression about it. The poor were already covered through the government assistance. It was a lot of middle class people that lost their health insurance when Obamacare came into play, because it was one size fits all and the premiums were outrageous. So, you know, pharmaceutical companies, health insurance companies, they were all had a seat at that table when Obamacare was pushed through. And one thing we were seeing is through hospitals and healthcare, we're seeing a lot of vaccines become a requirement to have to be treated in a hospital or to give birth in a hospital. And that is still coming. So we are not out of the woods, no matter what he does, really. But if he does repeal Obamacare, which I think was one of the biggest threats for mandating vaccines as well, and he does seem to understand that there are risks with vaccines, like all medical procedures. So, you know, fingers crossed that he understands the depth of this of the damage that it's being done, and you know, steps back and says no mandated vaccines. I mean, what I would love to see is a medical right, medical freedom right in our Constitution, because I believe every single person has the right to decide what goes in their body. The Nuremberg Code after World War II, you know, was passed because of the medical treatments that were forced on prisoners of war. And I believe everybody has a right to decide what goes into their body, and nobody should be forced a medical procedure, be it vaccines, drugs, anything. So I would love to see a constitutional right to medical freedom. Fingers crossed that that will be a reality one day. And I hope Trump does err on the side of resisting mandatory vaccines. And time will tell.
Time will tell. Brandy, we're out of time. Thanks for coming back on the show. Folks, go to learntherisk.org. We've just tweeted that out there. There's an abundance of really important evidence there and documentary evidence to back up and support what Brandy is saying, and share interviews like this and conversations like this with people whom are skeptical or whom are on the fence and who have children. They really need to hear this info. I think, you know, we will get there in the end, Brandy. You know, you talk about health freedom and the freedom to decide what goes into your body. It'll be because of people like you and campaigns like yours. Thanks for coming back on the show, and again, when you've got campaigns to promote in the future, do come back on and tell us about them. I really appreciate it.
Yes, definitely. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for all you're doing to improve the health of the world as well.
Brilliant stuff. Brandy Vaughan there. Thanks, Brandy, who was on the phone to us from California. She set up the Council for Vaccine Safety. But do go to learntherisk.org. It's exactly 6 minutes to the top of the hour.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device. Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. Livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Right, that's it for the programme. 4 minutes to the top of the hour. Thanks for listening to it as usual, and thanks for your tweets. I really do appreciate them. Please support the programme by going to paypal.me/Richie Allen. That's paypal.me/Richie Allen. Set up a recurring donation if you haven't done before. I really appreciate your support. The programme can't exist. It can't survive without your help. Thanks to Brandy Vaughan again, wonderful woman. LearnTheRisk.org. Shared these interviews with people, again, straddling the fence, undecided, sceptical. Ask them nicely to consider it, and if they don't want to, don't worry about it. Don't get involved with people. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 8 p.m. BST. Thanks to my producer, Claire, to Simon Stewart for YouTube, to Jean Ann, to Aaron, to everybody else who helps out in one way or another with the programme. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. I've been Richie Allen. The programme will be on podcast soon. If you missed any of it, it'll be repeating overnight on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, and the TuneIn app. I'll see you tomorrow. Look after yourselves and one another. Bye now.